KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. More than 7,000 athletes will be competing at the 103rd Drake Relays, and several may end up competing at the Olympic Games in London this summer. Relays director Brian Brown says he's happy with the list of Olympic hopefuls who will be competing.
There were some names on my list initially that I wish was here now. And a lot of reasons went into why they did not come. Some of it was just the scheduling. Some of it, unfortunately, were injuries. Some of it was just an opportunity maybe to do something different later. For me, I think that, you know, we got the very best that we could. Some of the athletes, and I will mention this, were bound by their Nike contracts to go to Penn Relays. And in that case, nothing we can do about that.
Well, Brown says there'll be a number of competitors at Drake who will become well-known once the Olympics are finished.
I always like to see the field maybe stacked a little bit from top to bottom. But what we'll find is those athletes that we've researched and put in the event, they are some of the no-names now, perhaps, that you'll hear about competing in the Olympic Games.
Well, one of the highlights this week will be Wallace Spearman's attempt to run the first 200 under 20 seconds. And Brown says having run at Drake before will give Spearman a chance. Now, it could be cold and wet this weekend, but Brown says for the most part the athletes don't mind.
For those who have come previously, they think it's the Drake Relays. For those who might be their first time, they'll think, wow, can't believe all these people are still here. Can't believe all the people who've competed before me is competing at such a high level. I better get my act together and follow suit. So, you know, I think it's something where the athletes don't have an issue with it. I don't think our fans do. There's some who will stay home, which is okay. There's a lot that will show up with slickers and rain suit if necessary, and they'll sit there and give some love to those athletes on the track.
Yeah, they have in the past, and they will again if that's the case. High school qualifiers will begin some of their activities today at the Drake Relays. Among the events today are a number of field events, including the boys' discus, which will get underway at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Tyler Hovey of Atlantic will be one of those participating in that event this afternoon, along with A.J. Scarborough and Dallas Franks. They both throw for Fremont Mills. Also, the girls' high jump event will begin at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Shaylee Rath of Trainer is one of the competitors in that event. At 3:30 today, the girls' shot put will begin with Kaylee Blake of IKM Manning among the competitors. Also, Grant May of Glenwood will be participating in the boys' long jump, which also gets underway at 3:30 this afternoon. On the track today for the high schoolers, the only local participants will be running in some of the long-distance events today. The girls' 3,000-meter event will get underway at 4:10 this afternoon, and Rebecca Topham of Griswold is one of the top competitors in challenging for the championship in that event today. At 4:25 this afternoon, the boys' 3,200 meters will get underway. Brandon Phipps of Creston will be among those competing for the title in that event today. Well, several Iowa college students will be looking to take the next step in their football career this weekend with the NFL draft that begins this evening. Iowa tackle Riley Reiff is expected to be taken in tonight's first round.
Yeah, at least everything I read sounds like he's got the shot to be a top 15 guy. Yeah, it's really hard to predict, you know, but the good news is it looks like it's not the deepest pool maybe of offensive tackles, so you know, maybe a team or two will get antsy, but you know, he's going to be a really good football player.
That's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz, who talks about the traits that will make Reiff a successful pro.
You know, he's durable. You know, it's hard to get Riley off the field. And the other thing is he's just a very aggressive player. And I feel a little bit like I did about Brian Bulaga with Riley. I think, you know, clearly his best football's ahead of him. I could probably say the same thing about Marshall Yonda. You know, Marshall was here for 2 years, so you know, Riley could have come back for another year. I fully understand why he chose to go out, and looks like a pretty smart decision at this point. But I think a real plus is whoever gets him is going to see even better football from him with each month in the future.
Well, Ferentz says the draft is only the first part, and the key is latching on with the team and then staying in the league. It could be the third straight year that a Hawkeye is taken in the first round.
I think it speaks well to the support staff that we have here. Our coaches, I think, do a really good job of developing the guys on the field, and the role that Chris Doyle and his staff play is huge. Yeah, and that was one of our building blocks when we started out here 13 years ago. That was something we really felt we had to try to maximize. If a guy's willing to work hard at that phase, you know, we feel like maybe we can move him ahead a little bit there. And think for the most part that's been a commonality. The guys that have been drafted, they've done a good job in the strength conditioning phase of things.
Our receiver Marvin McNutt, defensive back Sean Prater, and defensive tackle Mike Daniels are some of the other Hawkeyes players that should get a chance to get drafted. Iowa State's Kelechi Osemele is also considered one of the top five guards in the draft, and corner Leonard Johnson of ISU also expects to be drafted in this current round. Andrew Luck to the Colts at number one. Check that off your list. Robert Griffin III to the Redskins at number two. Pretty much a given. What happens next, though, is anyone's guess, as the NFL draft could turn into a wild wheeling and dealing session tonight with the new rookie wage scale, which replaces those astronomical salaries for top picks with a compensation plan. Teams could be gearing up to pull off more trades than ever before, and that means draft boards could change all through the night while potential picks wonder where they'll end up. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the league is still doing interviews regarding player punishments that likely will be handed down for the Saints' pay-for-hits bounty system. A league investigation found that from 2009 to 2011, New Orleans coaches and players put together a bounty system that paid out improper cash bonuses for hits aimed at knocking opposing players out of games. The NFL says as many as 27 Saints players participated. In other NFL news, the Green Bay Packers are parting ways with Nick Collins due to concerns about the veteran safety's ability to return from a significant neck injury suffered in a game September 18th. A second-round pick in the 2005 NFL draft, Collins started 95 games in seven NFL seasons. His agent says Collins has not decided whether he will attempt to continue his career with another team. The Falcons have acquired four-time Pro Bowl cornerback Asante Samuel from the Philadelphia Eagles for a seventh-round draft pick. The 31-year-old defensive back agreed to restructure his contract to a three-year, $18.5 million deal with Atlanta. His old deal with Philly was worth $21 million over the next two seasons. Veteran free agent kicker Neil Rackers is signed with the Washington Redskins, and he'll compete with incumbent Graham Gano. Rackers has played 12 seasons with Cincinnati, Arizona, and Houston. Kicker Mike Nugent has signed his one-year tender offer as the Bengals franchise player. Nugent recovered from knee surgery and set team records with 132 points and 33 field goals last season, helping Cincinnati to a wild-card playoff spot. He was an unrestricted free agent after the season, but the Bengals used their franchise tag on him in early March. On to baseball now, where the Texas Rangers have set a team record by opening the season with six consecutive series victories, doing it by taking the rubber game of a three-game set against the New York Yankees. Adrian Beltre, Mike Napoli, and Mitch Moreland all homered as the Rangers whipped the Yanks 7-3 yesterday. Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter went 2-for-4 to extend his hitting streak to 16 games. He's got a 4.20 batting average to start the season. Also in American League action, Kansas City has ended its 12-game losing streak as Billy Butler hit two of the Royals' four home runs in an 8-2 rout of Cleveland yesterday. Alex Gordon added a three-run blast, and Eric Hosmer hit a two-run shot. Jason Hamill allowed four hits in seven innings as Baltimore beat Toronto 3-0. Also yesterday, Mike Aviles launched a three-run homer as Boston built a 7-1 lead and then held off Minnesota 7-6. Felix Hernandez allowed a run and four hits in seven innings as Seattle dumped Detroit 9-1. Oakland blew a ninth-inning lead and trailed 4-2 in the 14th inning before they beat the White Sox 5-4. Jeremy Hellickson is now 3-0 after allowing a run and five hits in six innings in Tampa Bay's 3-2 win over the L.A. Angels. Over the National League, the Nationals set a Washington record for longest scoreless streak before they settled for a 7-2 win at San Diego. Winning pitcher Jordan Zimmerman held the Padres without a run for four innings, giving Washington starters 26 straight scoreless frames before Orlando Hudson homered in the fifth inning. Matt Kemp smacked his Major League-leading 10th homer of the season, but the Dodgers allowed three runs in the top of the ninth and lost 4-2 against Atlanta. Also yesterday, it was David Wright becoming the New York Mets' all-time RBI leader, drilling a go-ahead two-run homer in the sixth inning and a 5-1 win against Miami. St. Louis was able to pad its lead in the National League Central with a 5-1 win over Chicago as David Freese hit a two-run homer and an RBI double to help the Cards avoid a three-game sweep. Lance Lynn allowed a run and six hits in eight innings, becoming the Major's first four-game winner. Milwaukee is three games behind the Redbirds after Jose Altuve had a career-best four hits and Chris Snyder singled home the tie-breaking run in Houston's 7-5 triumph over the Brewers. Scott Rowland's first homer since last July sparked a four-run seventh in Cincinnati's 4-2 win over San Francisco. The Pittsburgh Pirates split a pair with Colorado, beating the Rockies 5-1 in the nightcap after they dropped a 2-1 decision in the opener. And Cole Hamels did a little of everything in Philly's 7-2 win at Arizona, hitting a two-run single and limiting the Diamondbacks to two runs and four hits over eight innings. Well, the Boston Bruins will not repeat as the Stanley Cup champions. The seventh-seeded Washington Capitals have advanced to the Eastern Conference semifinals by beating the Bruins 2-1 in overtime at Boston last night. Joel Ward notched his only goal of the series at 2:57 of the OT, stuffing in a rebound past goaltender Tim Thomas. Matt Hendricks scored a shorthanded goal, and Braden Holtby stopped 31 shots as the Caps won a Game 7 on the road for the first time. Holtby blanked the Bruins after Tyler Seguin beat him with 5:33 left in the second period. The seventh-seeded Capitals don't know who they'll play in the next round yet. They'll find out later on this evening after tonight's games. In the NBA last night, it was Orlando beating Charlotte 102-95, Chicago topping Indiana 92-87, Washington beat Cleveland 96-85, Denver over Oklahoma City 106-101, New York beat the LA Clippers 99-93, Philadelphia over Milwaukee 90-85, and San Antonio topped Phoenix 110-106. And in racing news, NASCAR Sprint Cup regular Kurt Busch will run at the nationwide race at Iowa Speedway on May 20th. Busch confirmed that he'll race in Iowa for the first time on Tuesday. He'll be the first Sprint Cup champion to run on Iowa's oval. Danica Patrick, Sam Hornish Jr., Austin Dillon, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who won both nationwide races at Iowa in 2011, are also slated for that race. That May event will be the first of four nationwide and Camping World Truck Series races in Iowa this season. The track will also host an IndyCar race coming up in June. That's Jack of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.